Today on Older and Wiser.
Are you generous when it comes to tipping? We'll reveal America's best and worst tippers.
Also, what most people say are the happiest ages in life. Plus, some of the most popular things to do in bed.
Yeah, it's not what you think. Also, if you don't like being called old, we'll brainstorm some better adjectives.
Stick around. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Yeah, I don't like being called old. We'll come up with something better, maybe age challenged or something like that.
No.
Okay, we'll figure that out later. Hey, folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora in the San Francisco suburbs. And as always, we are exploring recent public opinion surveys. And our first survey this week comes to us from Princeton Survey Research Associates. And the survey reveals the best and worst tippers in America. Do you think it's men or women?
Best? I think probably it's women.
Really? Really? Susan? According to this survey, the men tip at about 20% and women tip at about 16% on average. Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose that is? Are men trying to show off?
Maybe it depends on, you know, if it's a man or woman server and if he or she is cute.
Yes.
Well, and I think women... maybe they're more frugal.
According to this survey, only about 2% of those surveys say they never leave a tip at a sit-down restaurant. Can you imagine?
Oh, I would never do that.
How do you go to a restaurant and not leave any tip? But 2% of people do exactly that. Gosh, that's rough, man. The statistics are completely different for coffee shops or where there's a tip jar. For example, they say that at coffee shops, the tipping rate is about 29%. Only a third of people tip at all at Starbucks.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, some people put money in no matter what. As soon as they see the tip jar, they think they have to be...
I feel like if the tip jar is a place where they can see me do it...
You want credit because, first of all, you don't want the evil eye looking at you like you didn't tip.
I know.
You know, if that matters. And then if you did tip, you know, you want the you want them to know you put something in there.
The thing to do, I think, is to take like a dollar bill... and like hover it over the top of the jar when they're looking at you. And then when they turn around to get your coffee, you put it back in your pocket. That's what I think you should
do. That sounds like George.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. This one comes to us from the London School of Economics and Political Sciences. That sounds very official. So this must be a very, very good survey because it sounds so official.
You're very easily impressed here.
Yes. This survey was looking for the happiest age in life, and they actually came up with two. There's two ages in life that they've concluded are the points at which we are the most happy. So let's just start with the first one. The first age is 23. They've determined that at age 23, you are the most happy. What do you think?
I don't know. 23, you're kind of, if you went to college, you're just out. You might even be able to afford an apartment. You might have a job. Mm-hmm. So things were probably okay at 23 then. 23 now might be a little more difficult. I don't know. Unless you're somebody who's got the job of your dreams, as it happens, and you're doing what you want to do.
Exactly. I guess they figure that most people are entering into their first real jobs, you know, they're taking their first sort of exciting steps into that new career, and the optimism is there. You're looking to your future and you think it anything could happen. It just feels, plus you're young, you still get your looks, you still got all your hair, there's not a wrinkle on your whole body.
No cellulite.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. I mean, that's probably true for most people. I mean, there's some people who will be exceptions to that, but that's true. And also you probably have this sense that you're not a kid anymore, and the world now knows it. You don't have to prove that to anybody, although that may happen that you will.
I think that's a significant observation. It's a feeling of freedom, and I get it. 23.
You can eat potato chips for dinner.
Okay, so now this survey also says the other age at which we are at our most happy is 69. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm close, but I'm not
here. I'm close, a little closer than you, but I have to say, I think there's a certain kind of, I don't want to call it freedom almost, but it's kind of a lift off your shoulders. In other words, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to be size two. I'm not going to be a model. I've either left one profession and I'm thinking about another. Nobody's hovering over my shoulder saying, you should really do this.
These big decisions that you wrestled with for so many years, you pretty much made.
Well, made them, or if you're making, I think you've got to make new ones, though. In your 60s and 70s, you still want to do something that matters.
I get it, but I think you're really onto something when you have figured out that you've kind of settled into a groove at 69. You have got the kids through college. You've got your finances, hopefully, in a situation where you at least know what you're going to do, whether it's good or not. It's been decided. And you can kind of just maybe enjoy life a little bit more.
You've made peace with yourself. There and you also find ways to compromise. You know, maybe if you can't go for the big vacation every year and you haven't done that for a long time, maybe you don't really want to go on the big vacation every year. Maybe it's just something that everybody said you needed to do. And now at 69, you know, well, if I don't want to go, I won't.
I think this is interesting. I think as you get older, there's another peak in happiness, whether it's 69 or 68 or whatever it is. You can look forward to a peak in contentment and happiness coming down the road if you're not quite there yet. I feel optimistic about this.
I think your friendships, too. Friendships that have lasted over the years. You understand the value because, you know, you've lived and you know what makes a quality person in your life, I think, and you try to be a good friend as well.
Well, now we're going to move on to a subject a little less less deep. Let's put it that way. According to the, here's the headline: consumers have a hard time getting comfortable in bed. That's the headline.
You buy better sheets.
You buy better sheets. This survey comes to us from the bedding retailer Sattva, and I guess they did a little survey to find out what people do in bed and what problems they're having in bed. And I will preface this by saying none of this has anything to do with sex. So just if that's what you're here for, move along because move that's along. Not what
and
we're
going
to talk about.
Does it have anything to do with sleep?
Yeah. Oh, probably a little bit, a little bit. Okay. Right. According to this survey, the favorite things people like to do in bed, 66% of people like to watch TV or a movie in bed. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. 60% browse the internet, 57% check their email, 54% go on Facebook, and 40% read.
Okay.
Now, I think that's...
You want to know which ones of those I like?
Yeah, which one do you like? All of them, probably.
Well,
you don't do the social media.
I don't do social media. And if I did it, I would try not to do it in bed. This is why when I don't do social media, it's because I know it's addictive and I know me and me plus the internet or a quick way to check my email in bed, I might be doing it.
Yeah.
I did get into a bad habit of watching TV. And I've broken that.
Why did you feel you needed to break the habit of watching TV?
Well, let me tell you what happened. When I moved, I set it all up and, oh, it turns out we're going to have to come there and we can't get anybody there for 5 days. Internet, TV, and phone. I didn't have
it. You didn't have it for a while.
At all.
Got
all
it.
I had was radio.
Oh, so you had to listen to the radio.
Gosh, I felt like I had been thrown back in the 1950s. But I found I was sleeping better. So I had an extra TV. By the time they came to hook it up, you know what? Screw it. I don't need the TV on because what I do is fall asleep by it. And then it was on all night.
Got it. So you discovered due to a shortage of television availability that you didn't actually need TV in bed.
It was cold turkey and I had no choice. So I thought, well, what are you going to do?
How long has this been? A few weeks? It's been a month?
This only happened in February. Six months ago.
Okay. Yeah. So, and since then, have you put the TV back in your bedroom?
The TV is, I have an extra one, but I did not hook it up.
And okay,
fact,
so you're not watching, you're yes. no longer watching TV in the bedroom, right?
Right, that's right.
So how has your life changed since you are no longer watching TV in the bedroom?
Now I listen to the radio all night.
You just listen to the radio.
Yes, but I do, I have to say, I listen to public, national public radio, NPR, and the reason or a nice jazz station or something that's soft. I don't listen to something that's screaming about politics. I've heard enough of that all day.
Interesting. So you've made a whole life change.
I did.
Because you couldn't get the TV to work in your bedroom. That's interesting. I might have to try turning off my TV in my bedroom because I do watch TV in the bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, just unplug it or something and make it so that once you're in bed, usually once people are in bed, they don't want to get out of bed. At least
right.
I don't.
No, I don't.
So, you know, if I have to get up and put a TV on or off or plug it in or something, you know, forget. So unplug your TV. It might be the easiest way.
Yeah. According to this survey, 60% of people say they'd rather watch a show or a movie in their bed than on the couch.
It's more comfortable.
It is.
Depends on your bed.
What do you do about food, you know, like popcorn or whatever?
I don't do that anymore.
No, you don't take food into the bed? No.
So I figure if I take this upstairs, I'm going to have to carry it downstairs
the
tomorrow.
Dishes. 45% of people say they wish they could do more daily activities in bed. I think that's a hilarious statistic.
I'd like to
do more things in bed.
Well, get a comfortable chair and at least sit in the living room.
85% of people agree that the position they sleep in determines how restful they feel when they wake up. The position they sleep in. What do you sleep on your side or on your stomach or on your back?
I sleep on my back and on my side.
And are these positions you've chosen for comfort or for some other reason?
I always slept on my back. And then I read that it makes less wrinkles if you sleep on your back, but I was doing it
before that.
So, yeah,
okay. So there is the secondary reason. I knew there'd be something.
And then, but you got to move around. So I sleep on my side.
I began avoiding sleeping on my back because I found that I had nightmares when I slept on my back. I learned this when I was a kid. If I slept on my back, I'd have nightmares and I'd turn on the side. I'd be fine.
Did somebody tell you that was going to happen?
I did hear that that was something that could happen, so I experimented and tried to not sleep on my back, and I stopped having nightmares. Right. Now, the other thing about it is people who sleep on their backs often snore. So if you're sleeping in bed with somebody else, they can be annoyed by your snoring.
Yeah, well, that may
so
be.
So I end up sleeping on my side. Sleeping on my stomach hurts my back.
Yeah.
I always wanted a memory foam bed that when you got up from it, it kept the picture of you on the bed, you know, like the indentation of where you were.
Well, supposedly you can make a new indentation and it's supposed to accommodate.
It's a short memory is what it is.
Yeah.
I want a long memory bed where it just stays and then at night I can get right back into the groove. See the groove there. I just crawl back in. All right.
No, I have to say my kitty cat does sleep with me. He comes on the bed.
They could have their own little groove.
He has no boundaries and no rules. He's an indoor cat. So,
all right. Our next survey comes to us from cheapcarinsurance.net, one of the finest public opinion survey companies in the world.
Really?
You know, they do great surveys there at cheapcarinsurance.net. They surveyed 1,000 drivers to find out what features they wanted in a car. And of course, you know, cars are more and more expensive. And car manufacturers have been sort of teasing us with cool little things like GPS and maps and devices that you can connect your phone and your social media to your dashboard so that you can speak to your car and all that kind of stuff. And well, guess what? Car buyers don't care. They don't want all that junk.
No.
According to this survey,
more to make the price higher. I'd rather have a car that's less expensive, but, you know, it has the basics down well.
Yeah, the basics. According to this survey, the 10 most important features of the 10, 8 were safety related. People want side airbags. That's the most desired feature. They want blind spot warning systems. Mm-hmm. Automatic emergency braking. Oh, that's a cool thing. Have you seen the commercials for that? My car does not have that, but I would like it.
Yeah, I have seen the commercials.
It's a thing where, like, if somebody stops short in front of you, your car will stop on its own rather than waiting for you to get your foot over to the brake. I want that.
Now, what if you have the impulse to get your foot over to the brake?
I'm sure it'll just
doing it at the same time. Yeah, I'm sure the car know you're doing it, and it doesn't have to.
I think it's probably just it hits the brake before you have a chance. It goes ahead and starts the process. That's what I think it does. I'd love to have that on my car. And reverse rear view cameras. I have that on my car. I don't trust it. I have a little screen on my dashboard, and then when you back up, it shows you what's behind you. But I think it's better to just turn around and look.
I'd even feel like if it were there, although I do like that safety feature. I don't have it. But I would feel like I still have to turn around and look to make sure.
All right. Well, that was kind of a silly little survey. Don't know how much we got out of that, but let's move on to our
cheapcarinsurance.net.
Cheapcarinsurance.net. We love them.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. This next item I found in the Philadelphia newspaper, philly.com. A columnist was writing about the business of aging and what do we call people as they get older. The headline here is, if we can't call people old, what is the right word? And that struck me because I thought, yeah, I don't like the word old.
Well, I actually responded to this piece.
When you say you responded, you literally wrote back to this author?
I clicked on the email and I told this fellow, Stacy, and in a one-liner, I just said, the word I like is grown up. He said he liked that, but he said he hoped that somebody that you'd be a grown up before that. But I said, no, I mean, I've used it for a long time. You know,
it's like saying we're not kids anymore.
That's right.
There you go. There seems to be general agreement among us experts that elderly and senior citizen and aged are like not good.
It's hard. And I'm going to say that I'm going to guess, let's put it that way, that at this point in time, this is the first group of people in their mid to late 60s that is having trouble with the label.
The Journal of the American Geriatric Society announced last month that it will now require writers to use the term older adults for people 65 and older. Yeah, I don't mind. That's okay. Older adults. Older. Because it sort of says older than what? Older than 20? Yeah. Older than 30? Maybe.
They mean older than dirt or older than God. You're in trouble.
Yeah. There's no specificity to the term older. It just suggests that you're a little older. So
there was a fella in your in the piece that you cited, Alan Glicksman, I believe, 63, director of research and evaluation for the Philadelphia Corporation for Aging, joked, quote, old is 10 years older than you are.
Always.
And I think there's a lot of truth in that.
I do too. Another thing that Stacy brings up in this article, which I just think is interesting and so true, and that is ageist language. Like, for example, when you get a little older and someone says to you, gee, you don't look 70. That's really not a nice thing to say. You think it's nice. You think you're giving them a compliment, but it's a backhanded compliment is what it is.
Well, that could be. Yes, I see that.
How are you doing, young lady? Very insulting.
That drives me crazy. Yeah. Sweetie, young lady, all this stuff. You know, please don't. You're trying too hard the other way, and we both know it's not working.
The other thing I hate is when somebody says, how old is he? And he's 80 years young. If somebody does that to me when I get to be, I'm just going to smack them. Well, that about wraps it up for us today, Susan.
Yeah, and for all the links for today's topics, just go to olderandwiser.com and click Survey Says.
And for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit us at olderandwiser.com. We'll see you next time.